Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday. Well, welcome, my friends, to the show where I pretend a lot. And somebody else. You stumbled into ATOV Radio, a team of voices. It's a Wonderland production. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for tonight. With me is my co-host, AP Taylor, man from Down Under. How are you, AP?
I'm both excited. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Got a little heated today. Too hot in California. But
So good.
With
and,
us,
and we've got three people on hold, Heather.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Kitty.
Okay. Let them in. Yeah, with us, with
let's,
us
let's
is Sky.
Sky. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
And we should,
we have
Lee popping in.
Yeah. She is in the studio right now.
Hello, hello.
Deborah.
And
there's some wonderful
have,
stuff for you to say about Pink Floyd on the board, just saying.
And we have Sweet. Hello, Sweet.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, tonight we have money is our theme, our prompt. Any way you want to describe money, good, bad, or the ugly.
Indeed.
The root of all evil or the cost of other cost to be free, depending on how you look at it.
Exactly.
Also, during the show, we will be having two competitive type of collaborations between Sky and CP and myself.
Competitive?
And AP Taylor. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Not competitive. I guess not competitive. But we wrote the same picture.
No,
same
it
picture.
Is.
So,
no, it's competitive, Hatter. You hit the nail on the head. It's competitive.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-oh.
Competitive.
Oh, man. If
Bring
I,
it
I,
on.
I would have given my... We got to up our. I'm gonna up my game now that I know it's competitive.
No. Hold on. How can you up your element? You ladies are two for two. Pretend
well,
in a row. Just saying.
We don't.
Oh, okay.
But the men scored a 10 this week as well.
We're in trouble already.
Ah, there we go.
There you go. Yeah. Now, Hannah, we've also got Stephen and Kay in the studio as well. Hi. Hello, Stephen. And maybe Kay.
Oh. Hello.
Stephen and Kay, the Andorians.
Oh.
Hi, guys.
The Andorians.
Mm-hmm. Kay's already dancing out, so it shouldn't be.
Now, Hannah, we have a special request, don't we, that I needed to remind you about.
Yeah, we were going to read Jabberwocky tonight.
We were.
Anybody pushed for time real quick? I know Stephen and Andrew Kay usually need to split early, but if you could stick around for the Jabberwock, be cool.
I have about an hour.
I would like to hear the Jabberwocky.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Lou and the gang. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
Ready? I'm gonna get to Jabberwocky now, Hatter, because we've got a long list of stuff to do. Lots of people on board, all that stuff. Wonderful poem, Jabberwocky, by Lewis Carroll. And for all of those listening, I apologize for my Australian accent, there's nothing I can do about it. And it goes a little bit like this. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy where the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird and shun, the frumentous bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the Menach's foe he sought. So rested he by the Tum-Tum tree and stood a while in thought. And as in uppish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the tolgy wood and burbled as it came. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, Callooh Callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. End poem.
Yeah. Very good. Alice through the looking glass.
Thank you. There we go.
Did you hear him?
Thank you.
What did they
say? Aww.
Cool.
That's funny. You could ask that to to read that often, AP. That was really cool.
We were having a Christopher Lee marathon today, and I was like, AP is pretty good too. We gotta listen to AP.
How cool is that?
So, Steve and Andrew K, are you guys pushed for time?
Yes, I am. Kay's just listening. She's kind of in and out of sleep, but yes, I am pressed for time, unfortunately.
Okay. If you want to keep up,
I'd also like to hear both collaborations too, before I.
Yes, we're gonna do those two. Okay. Yes.
Well, how about if we do his in the middle of the two to break them up a little bit? Is that cool?
Good thinking. Yeah, that works.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so I'm going to grab the other one, and we'll do a lady sweets here, right? Hold on. Yeah, okay, wait a minute. We'll do a ladies first.
Yeah, I'll flip. I was going to flip a coin, but okay, ladies first.
I like ladies first, Hannah.
Yeah, so, okay, now here's the board. I'm laughing at Jerry Maguire on the board that, well...
Show me the money.
Here we go. Okay. This is the blind collaboration between Sweet Pea and Sky Darkholm. And I got to give it a title. And the title is Coffer Collections and Cats in the Cupboards. Here we go. Fancy cat paws and prisms over vinyl box turns Russian dolls and Chinese lanterns into travel trinkets from family vacations on an air balloon flying at noon with jukebox tunes and hula hoop memories spinning cotton candy giggles as the steampunk graphics meet vintage phone wires. Puppets on string act and sing with the Todd Terry banjo string singing to the Bat Cave. But Teddy stands ready in the dark to ward off monsters with needlework devices that jab grim castle maidens to entertain the nutcracker soldiers dreaming of pirouetting ballerinas. The top shelf hides the typewriter secrets in worn leather books as the masked writers, like mannequins, still typewrite with the desktops cluttered in childhood chaos and drawers stuffed with emotional bills and gold coins and clocks that tick-tock. Nokia, star wishes, and fairy tales of grad school ills and working late all left scratches in the wood. Place sun smiles down on carousel stallions and the marionette master masks mischief and marvel so the golden teddy peek and play with the cracker men as so Galileo and Pinocchio can chat music and magic, sitting on the blue couch shrunk by Rick Moranis, Slazinski, purring cats late about sunbathing in their castle inside time ships, steered by monkey jabber captains, playing hourglass card tricks to mock Jack in the box filled with sand pails, holding crumbled castles, and smelling of ocean laughter and cold.
Well, AP, I think we might be in trouble. We're in trouble.
I agree. Yep. I didn't put to the Bat Cave, and I certainly didn't put Zvolinsky, for God's sake.
I caught a couple that it would I related to that I also mentioned, but totally. Minds, these women.
Not great. They didn't pick up the Eight of Clubs, but apart from that, they've got about everything else.
Yeah.
I totally cheated. I made the two kids pick out six things each of what they saw, and then I wrote about those six things each. And then I tucked in a few of my own to make them fuller.
Well, they helped get a 10. I haven't heard Sweet. Sweet, did you hate it?
No, I loved it. I was like, way to go, Sky, what great line. And you put them together so well. I don't know how you take the gibberish I send you and make such beautiful poems, but wow. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, they came together so amazing. I loved it.
Deb, I love that you got that it was Nokia, like Pinocchio, but Nokia. I was wondering if you were going to pronounce that. I'm like, I wonder if she's going to get that.
Of course.
Brilliant.
I had to make emphasis so that you would realize I did.
Wow, this
and
is brilliant. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I love that your mannequin line fits so well with the top shelf hides typewriter secrets in worn leather books as the masked writers like mannequins still typewrite with the desktop cluttered in childhood chaos and drawers. That works so well together. I was like, oh my God, that works perfect.
Wow.
I just liked it.
I'm looking over the lines between Sky and Sweet Pea. I find that interesting. Now that we did right to the same picture.
Todd Terry is a musician. He does the banjo, and one of his well known songs is he covers "To the Batcave." So, putting that on. That was for sure.
I thought it was going to Banjo Patterson. Yeah.
They would have known.
Back in the bottom.
What'd you think of their number two, Stephen?
I like this a lot. I'm saying in my comment that much of the cat speak is unfortunately very relatable for me, especially like cats in the cupboards where you go with that, because that's happened here. And I have to say, the picture, that cat that's sitting right in the center underneath the horse, you know, Kay and I have talked many times about the cat that we were cat sitting for my son, but ours turned out to be ours, Charlie. He looks exactly like that cat sitting in the middle. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I think this is phenomenal. Rick Moranis? I thought I just did, that made me smile alone. This is just awesome.
It was a little tiny couch, so I had to put this
on. I was like,
that is hilarious. Oh.
Wow. Well, I've seen. I'm still looking here. Yeah, I'm impressed on the different angles of the picture that you guys took. I'm impressed. I'm a little scared too. Golden bear. Yeah. So how do you guys? So how do you, Sky, Sweet Pea? How do you guys like this collab thing? You don't talk to each other.
It's very.
And,
no, it's interesting.
Interesting. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I read enough of Sky's work to go, oh, she's probably going to go here, but she's gone so bizarre on these things. It's like I don't know her at all.
Well, you know, I do. It is very different because one, I'm not so obsessive about tying the lines together. But the first one I did, I tied a lot of the lines that I did wordplay. So you need the first line to really get the second line, if you know what I mean. So in the first one that I did, I because I didn't know that Deb was going to go every other line. A lot of the lines, in order to get what I said, you have to read the line right before it because it was a play on words. But not to say that I didn't love how you mixed it up, but this time I tried not to do that so that she could like play, put them where she wanted to, and I focused on just the descriptions in each line, which was actually a little bit harder because I had to concise just one line, but it was actually still very good because I was like, Deb, I'm not going to try to connect any of the lines, line for line what I see, and give it to you, and it is a little bit different, but it's fun. It's fun for me. It's a little less, it's less stressful for me.
Yeah, well, that's all I really want is you give me your first impression, you know, and then not try to worry about creating a poem just. Because sometimes if you take a picture like this and jot down a whole bunch of your first impressions and then look at them and let those first impressions lead you, you can write a whole poem around the first impressions. And that's what happens with these.
And I do the same thing too, Sweet, just so you know. I'm like, Sweet's probably going to grab that. And, you know, I really thought you were going to grab the nesting dolls, so I didn't take them. But neither one of us did.
Oh, I did.
They're in
there. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right there. I see. You did. Okay. See, I knew you were going to take. So I do the same thing, too. I'm like, she's probably going to grab that, so I won't say that. Or I try to change it, like the Pinocchio, I change it to Nokio, so that Nokio, if you grabbed it, wasn't repeated. I'm like, that's a fairy tale, so she's probably going to grab that one. So I do the same thing, too, so it's funny that you do that. But
it looks
really
amazing.
I try to
get my ESPN on, and I try to match what AP might say, because I know it's probably not going to happen.
I mean, but she's got darkness in there, too, for us, because the second stanza, last couple of lines are hilarious to me, but Teddy stands ready in the dark to ward off monsters with needlework devices that jab grim castle maidens to entertain the nutcracker soldiers dreaming of pirouetting ballerinas. That's fabulous. Needlework devices that jab grim castle maidens.
And everybody would have thought that was one of yours, Sweet. So, yeah, it was like you guys channeled each other and took pieces and incorporated them into your own. And, again, number two is another 10. And AP's awful quiet.
Yeah, you know, AP,
well, I'm just
theirs went together too well.
You got a bit of the Jabberwocky today, so I had the Jabberwocky in my head. That's where the monkey jabber came from.
you ladies got to remember when AP and I started this, we struggled on what Deborah needed. I think the longer lines help out, because when we were doing shorter lines, they were a little more choppy. More difficult for her to put together, I would think. But you know, that way we could expand on what we're seeing a little more, rather than just a mention. Very good, very good.
Well, thank you, Deb. Thank you, Sweet. Brilliant. I think my favorite part is Sweet's favorite part as well. Brilliantly, brilliant. Thank you.
Cool. It's fun, you guys. You did great. And Stevens is on there, and then we will reveal the men's. So, Stephen, if you want to read.
Okay, yeah. Some of you have read this before. This is a pre-write. It was for one of the Picture Prompt Mondays, and the picture of that yacht, the Black Swan, was what you gave me, Deb. And I also wrote to the song Smuggler's Blues, and I came up with this, and I call it from another song, Slip Out the Back, Jack. I smile when I see the green, but inside I'm blue, never putting down roots, more of a tumbleweed blowing across the desert oceans. No allotment for offspring, cannot slow down. Delivery method quick, ease another tale. No credit, please, only stuff that folds. Off to pick up cargo for the next client. Luxurious items at my disposal fail to make the inner me content. And boom.
I like the boat. You know, there's a guy out there that his job is to deliver these things to the owners. Wouldn't you like that job?
That'd be a nice job.
Yeah.
I'm running late.
You know what they never tell? They rarely. Go ahead. Well, they rarely tell you if you look at these yachts and these boats that they make, they rarely tell you who actually owns them. Once in a while, they'll tell you who just sold it, but rarely do they tell you who owns those magnificent boats.
It's like a mansion on water.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, along with that, boat, you have to have a security. You have to have your security team. Have a little army with you. I'm sure there's
and there's a helicopter on top. and there's a latch somewhere, and it opens, and out pops a little matching sports car, and on the other one there's a little boat to get up to the shore once you anchor, and they all match pretty like that.
Yeah. I'm sure they have a bay that opens up and all these jet skis come out, all these little black little jet skis.
Then you hear the James Bond music.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. God, I'd love to see you get on board. Check that thing out.
Yeah.
Man,
I'm going to jump right in. Don't mind, Steve. This is brilliant. Now, see, for me, I love the green. I love that you mentioned I smile when I see green, but inside I'm blue. I like that because I do know that you have, I'm not sure what the prompt was for the Monday thing or anything, but thinking about this from a personal perspective, I know that you love the oceans, and I know you love your shark, and you love a little bit of that. You know, I'm much more like I want a lake, so there's like surrounded by green trees and the water, so I can have the best of both worlds. You know, out in the ocean is a little too out for me, but I know that you love it. So I liked how you put that in there. And I was looking at the video, so I'll have to look at that later. But I thought this was quite brilliant. But I like that beginning.
Hey,
Steven. I think it was a little nod to how you love the ocean. So.
Thanks,
Steven.
If you zoom in on the back of that boat, you see those four chairs. I think I see a rod holder.
Yeah, it was for fishing for sure.
Damn straight.
I just thought they're always spending time having ice cream by the lake, and he likes to fish. And it was one of those times where you signed your name on the line, and I put a prompt there for you, and it just looked like one that Stephen could have some fun with, and he did here. No allotment for offspring, cannot slow down, delivery method quick.
What do you want to bet you got to pick your shoes off to get on board?
Hell yeah.
I would make you.
Kidding me. That's cool. All right.
You're surrounded by water and you're in a pool. Why not?
So what are we looking
real
at?
Close to one of those chairs, you might see a little feisty redhead that he's married to and catching a tan there.
I bet it's got torpedoes. Gotta have a torpedo.
That's how it just fishes. Saying. Torpedo fishing.
Yeah.
But I live around a lot of lakes, and I had my mom here for 2 days. And when she wasn't cleaning my house, all she could talk about was going fishing. She's like, oh, I wish I had the fishing rod. I just wanted to go fishing the whole time. She likes to fish. And she used to take me out to sea fishing on deep. I was like 3 months old and on a deep. But I've never been a huge fisher, but she really likes it. That's all she was saying the entire time she was here, in between cleaning my house, is how she wanted to go fishing. Because I live right outside of a waterfall, so she was just like, oh, I need my rod.
Wow.
And it made me think of Steven. Yeah, it made me think of Steven.
Party at Sky's house.
Yep.
Yeah, Kay and Steve are going to camp out on my porch in winter. They're gonna winter camp out on my porch.
And fish.
There you go.
Ice fish.
Ice fish. All right. Well, Deborah, you want to throw up the moons?
I did.
I'm very excited about this one.
I can't imagine why.
I'm having trouble understanding right now. Please try a little later.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Well, here comes the men's version of the same mind collaboration photo between Jay Hatter and Upon Rain's A.P. Taylor. It's called Amadeus Cat Burglared All Those Missing Socks. Here we go. Pinocchio gazes on pink-colored faces. The time is 12:03, and now, with the aid of clubs, we trade for 5 Russian nestals and for the angels that call to sit below the gaze of a spade. Mandolin winds gust and the carousel spins, but the joker is stuck on the wall while the bike engine roared. Rattling beach ball lagoons as the hot air balloons anchored in short story rhymes are masks with gestures accord. For kittens in the box with only one sock, where could the other 3 be? We'll ask those soldiers ready to come in to aid of the Asian masked cats sleeping in your lap, by the kittens just want to play with the cats and the balls on masquerade. Brass monkeys that clap wear red fez hat parked on a broad dresser that's stacked, packed with jokers and aces and kings with half faces, shuffling with no queens in the deck. Books still hold the toys they tracked. I can't read the lines from this far behind, so what did the sorcerer say to the yellow teddy peering from inside, asking why the Pooh Bear owns no underwear hiding under the dark? To see ephemera draped outside. Now magic wands that learn the songs fill the spaces in time with the buckets handy for panning gold and for seeking diamonds from heaven that gather in sevens because there are no 8, just a babushka and typewriter old. And Paul.
Whoa.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
Uh-huh.
Where's I was blown away by both of them tonight.
Mm.
10 for the ladies, 10 for the men.
So,
I think
Lou in the gang, which one was best?
Lou and the gang are back over there, but I can comment. This is brilliant. First of all, I was trying to blow up those things to see exactly what each card was. So I think it's quite brilliant. I didn't end up going that way, but I think it's quite brilliant. I didn't look at whose lines were whose, so I'm commenting blind here. But whoever was very specific in the card, which one was showing, and even the time on the clock, I thought that was brilliant to bring in those specifics. And then, of course, the joker stuck on the wall. And I have to say, the way that the threaded lines, I think this is my favorite right here. This one, for kittens in the box with only one sock, which I thought was brilliant, and I loved it. Where could the other 3 be? We'll ask those soldiers ready to come to aid. I really liked that part. I think that might be my favorite part, and the fact that these specifics were brought in with the time and the cards. I thought that was quite cool, too. And, again, seeking diamonds and heaven gather in seven. Because there is no 8, bringing in that 8 back too. So I'm guessing that both of you brought in the 8 card.
Yes.
I'm gonna guess that it was both of you that kind of did that. That was really cool too. I thought it was a really great collab, and I like the way you threaded it through the story that it told. I can't imagine that it's hard to tell a story with very different opposing lines from 2 different people, but you still managed to do so, Deb. I think it's quite brilliant.
Thanks, Kai. I know, and then I have to change like the tense, or maybe add an ing here or there, or you know. Conjunction.
Oh, yeah. The tenses, of course. I would say the tenses, absolutely.
Yeah, I stay out. I think I have 4 words in this one, but there were just conjunction in the one that you guys did, conjunctions, and 1 or 2 INGs swapped up.
So, Sweet Pea, what'd you think?
Yeah. Well, first off, what I find very, very fascinating and interesting is the feminine and the masculine in these poems, and you guys were more on the feminine use of words, and you are very more masculine use of words, such as you went very much with the cards and the bite and words like anchored and gestures and things like that, and we went very much like teddy bear and I was just looking at our poem, but you guys went very sexual. Yeah, and fairy tales and things like that, and you're like brass monkeys and, you know, the rattling of the engine roar, and I found that very striking at first. And it was just, you know, but I love the word babushka, by the way. I don't know which one of you used that, but my grandmother used to say that to me all the time. Really like that. And the first time I read this out loud, it said to the yellow teddy bear peeing. I didn't see peering, but so that was funny to me. But it was just my own mistake. and few books still hold the toys they tracked. I like that one, too. But, yeah, I really like this. I think yours was better than ours, but... I like you said, the time on the clock, I wouldn't have been able to read that, but that's okay. The gaze of the spade. I thought you guys did brilliant. I really, really liked it. And again, pointing out that there were no queens in the deck, I really liked that too. So you guys were like very, very like pinpoint detailed. And I felt I was like, oh, well, you know, like hula hoop giggles and, you know, cotton candy this and very more broad fantasy. You guys were like really like, this is what's on the desk and this is what we're going to talk about. So I thought that was really great. And way to go, Zeb, again, taking gibberish.
Thanks. Zeb, when Hatter brought the socks, I had to bring Amadeus into the equation, too.
I love that, by the way.
Title was born, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and one minor side note here. You were talking about the differences with the roar of the engine versus the teddy bears and whatnot. Well, need I remind you that in Skye's version of this fairy tale, those poor maidens were getting jabbed with grim things.
Weren't more dark. I just said the language was different.
I know.
You know, you gotta ask the age old question of where's Pooh's pants?
Right,
know,
you guys
right?
Use underwear jokes. Yeah, underwear jokes. Yeah. We're stabbing people. You got the underwear jokes.
That wins it for me.
Well, it went,
it's a fun
it went,
word. That's why
it
I
went
kept
very
it
well.
The bottom. That's APs, I believe.
Babushka.
Yes.
Where's your babushka?
Final sentence.
Yeah, I find these interesting. We go through and look at who wrote what line, what lines. And I'm still amazed at how Deborah puts them together. She's got the hardest job.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun part.
Those tens. What can you say? So, Stephen, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I like this a lot, too. I did mention in my comment, you know, who started that underwear-less fad? Was it Pooh Bear or was it Porky Pig?
I
like this a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought I remembered a fad for a while and there was Porky Pig in it. But, yeah, I think this is great. I think the details that you guys put into this are perfect. I was looking at the picture myself while you were reading it, Deb, and I pick up more than I did the first time and even maybe had some words running through my head about it, too. I don't know that I'll write to it, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I like about this guy, Ciro Marchetti. He's fascinating. And I don't know if – well, I'm sure that Hatter and AP have because they've written to him before – but he seems to either put that brass monkey and or Pinocchio in everything. Mm.
So, so I get it out of the way. I put it in my first line. And 3P, you need to zoom in. You need to zoom in on the picture to get all the details.
Ah.
That's the way to pick up all the little things I found anyway.
The thing I was disappointed with, no matter how much you blew up that picture, you couldn't find out the titles of the books. I was so keen to put the titles of the books in.
Yeah, I like the same thing. Because I wanted to incorporate that, and I don't think I did.
Yeah, so did I. And you couldn't do it. So that was the bit that I was a bit sad about. I was, you know, desperately looking for through the looking glass or something like that, you know.
Yeah, that would have been. You know, I used to, when I told that,
we would have just believed you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
you had to.
Could have faked it.
I am gonna let you guys go though, because I gotta give up this couch and give Lou his bed, and they're technically school time, and I'm keeping them way up. They're never gonna go to bed. Not school tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad you were able to call it with the cola.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
I got a show to push.
And I got a read and run. So
do you have a show to push?
Okay.
I am on. Well, I can let Stephen's on before me. Do you want to let Stephen's on before me if you want to do it in order?
Absolutely. Stephen, you want to shout out for the mortuary?
Mortuary is on Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's just Open Dark Poetry. Wednesday night, some poetic inklings with Leonid Afimov paintings to write to.
Saturday, 8 p.m., we are celebrating the movie A League of Their Own. So 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anybody watch the film, you could write into any of the clips, quotes, scenes, themes, anything you want. Bring it on over. You could just write about Gina Davis, and I'd be happy. And
and Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna or something, right?
Yeah, who's the shortstop?
But I mean, Gina Davis. And then all the rest of them.
Yeah,
brilliant film. Brilliant actresses, actors. There are a lot of great ones in there, and it's a great film. A little bit of a heart jerk or two at times. And, yeah, so we do it 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come over and bring me a poem. Thank you.
Cool.
Bye.
Night Sky and Stephen, say hello to Jay. Night.
I will when she wakes up. And I'll blow in her face too.
Okay, I was going to say. Thank you.
I think for me, Virginia Madsen was the first thing I said. Good night.
Night.
Good night, Steve.
Okay.
So
sweet.
I
do you need to do your poem next? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get Sweet's poem on next, I think.
Yeah.
That is.
Yep. This is working hard for the money. Hard rock fires into veins for $50. Come hither, bid. Stiletto shadows walk high. Vladimir's looking to reign. Silk stocking pretenders in last week's dirty jeans play. Money flows on hot summer nights. The velvet green carpet preys on the adrenaline. Roll the dice, win it all, or die with a serpent's bite. Silkworm sweatshops. Blue suits, superpowers, gator shoes and sport cars all hinge on stock market dollars. Buy low, sell high, stress kills. Check your fortune by the hour. A teacher sits in classroom bare, budgets run amok, governmental red tape, the gracious artwork drawn in periwinkle crayons. There's no money in the pot to make a change. What the frugal funk? A pea disrupts the flow of sand. Raindrops touch a milkmaid's hand. The world's economy will fall, adjust to commodities, save the earth and reduce the size of waistbands. Princes and paupers on love unite, for love is what makes a life. Who cares about the money, right? End poem.
Yeah. So, a very good tale of abuse, not abuse, but I mean, didn't it all just start with barter and then trade?
Originally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then somebody decided, well, let's make a coin.
Yes.
Put somebody's face on it. I like
well,
the,
that
came
light up.
Yeah. Oh, the one was by the hour. Where is that? Check your fortune by the hour. We're doing the lottery?
Third.
Stock market.
Last line in the third.
Yeah. Gator shoes. Sports cars. Yeah. You know, I mentioned this to AP, and I heard it on a podcast. In order to redistribute the wealth into the fact to keep an economy running for a country or a group of countries, is there a time that the government needs to step in and say, for example, Gates, Zuckerberg, these guys that are just filthy, filthy rich, you put them aside and you ask them, look, you guys played the game too well. Nobody can own everything. That separates class, that separates without them even trying to do it. It will happen. Can you take that wealth away from them? Not the total wealth, because they're worth so much. Their great-great-great grandkids will never need anything. But in order to keep a world economy working, who has the – is there somebody that needs to say you've won enough? You can't – what you do from this point on, it goes back into the country somehow. Is that a viable idea? Because
no.
these billionaires no. are going to be nothing. They're going to end up owning everything. They almost already do. If they wanted to,
they should pay more in taxes if they have abundance. But
well,
I don't think that you should be able to take something. You know, a hard enough thing to deal with is eminent domain. So the thought of taking something that a family's put generations into kind of sucks.
My biggest belief in this country is the Social Security maximal taxable income is $142,800. So that means any money you make after $142,800 is you are not taxed on Social Security. Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all of that could be completely solved for another 1,000 years if anybody making over $142,000 would be taxed higher on Social Security. So if you make $142,000 a year in this country, all taxes stop after that dollar amount for Social Security, period. That's the maximum anybody can tax you on. So anybody making $142,800 over that, if you make $142,801, you are no longer taxed for Social Security. That's it, period.
Yeah, and saying that the tax laws don't affect the rich. They have ways of getting around it. The only other time I can remember the government stepping in to do it is when they broke up the monopolies, the railroads, the timber, the steel, the gas.
And I don't care if you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, whatever, no president, no Congress, no anything has ever changed that law. They they've inched it up, obviously. They have never focused on that, and that is the one thing. I don't care what side of the left, right, in between you sit. That's just plain financial sense.
Of course not. That would affect
sense.
Your pocketbook.
Yes. But that's not what my poem's about. That's political stuff, and we don't get into that.
That's true. I think it's cool. The stuff you dug into is cool. And when I first clicked on it, I actually laughed because we used practically the same picture and we came at it and added. Mine's got a few less Benjamins in it because there's some clouds shining through and stuff, but still it was oodles of Benjamins. And I like stuff like the Hard Rock Fries and the Veins for $50. Come hither, babe. The stiletto shadows walk high. I have a grin on my face from some of the stuff that you covered in this. I thought you did a great job. Silkworm sweatshops, weave blues, suit superpowers, gator shoes, and sports cars. I mean, really, do you have to have a pair of gator shoes and ostrich shoes and stuff? I mean, you can fake it and tell people it's a real ostrich. Did you have to kill him? I know.
I care to kill an ostrich, but...
Yeah, so it's just like snakeskin. Well, maybe I'll leave that one alone because I know that you probably laughed
no,
at that.
No, I don't like anything.
I know, so I figured I'd leave that one alone. Let me stop right there in my tracks. You haven't been desensitized enough yet.
Right.
But and I love the fact that you incorporated the F word with a whole bunch of fancy little doodads. Well, we knew what you were saying there, so I think this was really clever.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I can I'll have your vote in 24. I'm running for president. That's my.
Yes, absolutely. I would vote for Jay Hatter in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
There you go.
In a movie.
Just common sense. Okay.
You just know you've got to do it.
Hatter, now, as we were talking before, did you want to do your poem next? Because I think we might.
I'm
looking at it now.
You, that always scares me.
What? Hey, P, will you comment for Sweet Pea before Hatter reads, please?
I will. I like yourself, thought the amok and the F with a set of appropriate initials behind it was very appropriate. And I did like the villanelle-esque format of the first and third words rhyming and the middle one coming in for the play. So, and the way that was done was quite elegant. Money personally, but then it talked about money more broadly in terms of government, and then it went back and talked about the fact that, you know, it really doesn't matter, but it absolutely does. And that was the nice thing about that final line and the way it was set up with the question mark. So, no, I enjoyed it, Sweet.
Thank you. Because, you know, your opinion matters.
And a bound. Okay. I'm posting mine now.
Excellent.
And there it goes. Boom. I struggled with my first idea, and it fell apart. I was bummed. So I sat before the show and I got down to it, and this is what I came up with. So,
okay.
God darn it. I gotta go get it now.
You do?
It's called.
Knock on the board.
It is?
No,
is
I don't
it
think
there it is.
I think it's.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I got it.
I don't know.
It's called Line Up, If You Will.
Okay.
And I'm posting it. Posted it. Come on.
Cool.
Come on. Now. I'm hoping this is the right group.
We believe you.
Okay. Boom. Okay. Line up, if you will. goes like this. Line up, if you will, a story of Will. What? Okay. Ignore that first line. And those things
okay.
that come free to us. Line up, if you will, the story of Will and those things that come free to us. It started as barter that grew to favor. IOU, as it were, did not cure or trade for a beast of burden. When things went awry, we prayed to the sky. You'd think we might have learned. Kingdoms did grow by ignoring all those that had no food to eat. Instead of a hand, we took their land and called it the greatest defeat. It's but let's give some fun. Let's have some fun and buy lawyers and guns to listen to us now. Cannons and shells, hear the ringing of bells. History will start with a wow. Let the dollar be spared for those that don't care, because money was never bling. Watch those that have walk an only path, surrounded by sparkling things. The root to all evil, with like the wood eating weevil. Money will destroy our souls. Price tags and sea hags, cups for our tea bags. So praise our mighty gold. Truth speaks of riches as though they were glitches, and history names us divine. Memories that change us. For the rich and the famous, we are running out of time. Info.
There's good stuff in there, Hatter.
Yeah. Powerful. Truth. Hard hitting.
Yeah. Money's power.
Yep. I think it needs about 10 minutes more, because there's a couple of loose bits, but there's some really good bits.
Yeah, as you can tell, I didn't do the final. There's a couple of little things in there I got to fix.
I think it got through about three stages of review, and your normal was about four or five.
Things,
because it's got some bits that are really cool. There's some really good bits in there, Hatter.
Yeah.
I particularly like just some of the, even like throwaway lines. Kingdoms did grow by ignoring all those that had no food to eat. Instead of a hand, we took their land and called it the greatest defeat. That's just wonderful. It's brilliant.
Yeah, history is not a pretty thing.
No, and, it's not. But it's
every
hard
every country's done it.
Oh, no, I get you, but it's very hard to capture it in 22 words, which is what you just did there.
Yeah. And to make it sound pretty with your meter, even though it's
no.
hard
hit. Very, very.
Yeah, it's
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to put in the, let's buy some lawyers and guns. Let's have some fun, buy lawyers and guns. They'll listen to us now.
Yeah.
Is my suite still here?
Good question. No.
Yes,
she's
I'm
not.
Still here.
Oh, there
yes,
he is.
I am.
She's here. She's
oh,
here.
Cool.
I'm here.
I thought you might want to comment for Hatter and push your show. I know you said you could only stay an hour.
Yeah. First off, Hatter, you bring me to my knees in wonderment and shame of the world into a truism. There are so many lines in here that make someone, or should make everyone pause. Price tags and sea hags for our tea bags, we praise the mighty gold. I mean, our entire nation, our country is the Tea Party because we refuse to give out our gold for stupidity and taxes and all of that, because we didn't ever want to be in that bind. And 200 and some odd years later, we are that exact group of people we fought against. You know, that whole we're going to give our money to the rich and they're going to use it and addict us to us. And if we are not there, I don't know what we are. And truth speaks of riches as though they were glitches. And history names us divine. Memories that change us for the rich and the famous. Hey, listen, we're running out of time. I mean, that is just like, you need to pay attention. Our children are hungry. We have people living on our streets. We have the worst medical system for our elderly and our seniors than any other country in the whole damn world. We take people that have lived and people that have served our country, and we spit and step on them, and we take everything they have worked for in their entire lives, and we take it away from them. We don't honor, we don't respect, we don't do anything. We just spit on them and say, everything you've ever lived for, everything you've ever given, all the taxes you've ever paid, give it up and go live in the poorhouse. Because we're going to take every dime you've ever had and give you health care. We are divorced at it. You know what? We're running out of time to save ourselves. And I love that message. It's a truism that everyone should know about.
Yeah, our leaders have let us down, playing their games. The forgotten. And like
Amadeus
said,
knows she's upset now.
Everything we've done, you work for through your life, they just take away, and you lose it. I mean, you wonder why the depression and people giving up is so high. It doesn't take long to figure that out.
Because I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how my mother-in-law and my father-in-law's in his 90s, is unfortunately passing away. My mother-in-law is almost 90, and everything they have is literally being taken away from them. They are allowed assets of $2,000. That's it. And everything else is being handed over to the government for his care. That's it.
We have it wrong. We have it wrong. The way, I don't know if it's a twist. Yeah. Look what they've done to.
Sorry,
what they've done to Christmas. It's so material and it's not supposed to be.
What did we do? We went out and got warriors and guns to protect her.
Yeah.
But we have the guns, but we're not using them. We just have the lawyers.
Sweet, I do have that shovel.
Thanks, sweet. If you're in Australia and you earn more than $120,000 US, you pay 45% tax. And for every dollar you earn over $120,000 US, you pay 45 cents tax. In the US, if you earn $120,000, you pay 24% tax. I'll just say that again. At $120,000 plus, you pay 24% tax in the US, you pay 45% tax in Australia. Now, that is a reasonably significant difference. It's, in fact, almost double. Yeah, almost exactly double. And the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is that if you earn more money, you've got to pay more tax. And unfortunately, in the US at the minute, can earn $500,000 and still only pay 37% tax. They can earn four times as much as you can in Australia, and still pay 10% less tax. So something's got it wrong. And it may well be the truth of the matter is somewhere between the two, because that's what happens most of the time. But
they play in the gray of every loophole and pay less taxes then the low man on the totem pole pays at the end of the year on top of all that.
I get it. I get it completely. But if you start off with a tax system that doesn't actually charge people much tax, then you don't have any money to actually go and...
I agree. The more you make, the more you should be contributing because you can.
I agree. Fundamentally, that's what you, that's what it's about, you know. But at the center of that, there becomes a thing that says that you've actually got to be proud when you pay your tax, not when you minimize your tax.
And so I'm
very proud of the fact that I actually pay more tax than it costs in my medical treatment. I'll be the only person on my form of medical treatment that would do that, but I pay more tax than the cost of my medical treatment. But that's a very different headset. You've got to step back and you've got to say, well, the only way the roads get done and the military gets done and the housing gets done and the education gets done is if
you
pay tax.
Pay your part.
Yeah?
Exactly. Absolutely. That's why I get so upset with the $148,000 cutoff. I make more. That's barely. I mean, $148,000 in today's wage. I mean, I know that's a lot of money for a lot of people, but it is barely standard middle class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even wealthy. I wouldn't even consider that wealthy. In today's age, and you're not paying a dime over that. You're not even, you're paying zero tax after that, zero. That goes into medical, Medicaid, Social Security. I mean, there's just a big pot that's
so
not being filled.
But that's just dumb, you know. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just dumb.
You're talking to the choir here.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
It's just dumb.
I agree. It's beyond dumb.
You know. It's beyond dumb. It's just ridiculous, you know. And so,
yeah, our elderly living in poverty. Yeah, but that's my hope. But let's get on with this beautiful show because I don't need to be on that soapbox.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my show Thursday night
is going to be a letter kind of to your future self about what you would remember about yourself today. So if you had to. If your future self was remembering you today, what would it remember?
Okay, got it. Got it.
Yes.
I remember CP.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Very nice. What
would, yeah, so I'm putting that top board up now, and then I'm off to bed. Great show tonight, guys. I really enjoyed
Perfect.
It. Money is a hot topic. All right. Love you guys.
No.
I will talk to you soon.
Great.
Okay.
Sweet dreams,
sweet. Thank you.
I want to take this time for anybody that just stumbled in. We are ATOV, a team of voices. We are a poetry group, a bunch of writers that hang out at allpoetry.com. We sort of fill in our blog talk radio shows with writing.
We do.
We have shows during the week, different hosts, different things, different prompts. So we always have fun. Call sign.
So,
gotta do that.
I've got a couple of little brevities. I thought we might put a couple of little brevities in. Yes. So,
sure.
And while we still have you here, so this first one is, it's just sort of sitting there. Really, this is coins, and it goes a little bit like this. It's time to talk about coins. Well, pennies mostly here. If they cost more to produce than their value or near. So you lose money on metal, and that's before transportation. Add shipping and counting, and losses mount for a nation. Every person better off buy a buck a year still pickle. You could make that too, if you also got rid of the nickel. End poem.
Yeah, the hell is a nickel?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. What do we need the penny for? Just.
You don't.
I guess Canada got rid of theirs. They have a toonie and a loony. Our toonie and a.
Yeah, no. Australia got rid of ours in 1992, Hatter. 20 odd years ago. You don't need a penny.
Yeah,
you really don't.
Need it.
And there's $100 million right there.
Yeah.
You get rid of the penny, there's $100 million. Yeah. It's just a straight out saving. It's as simple as that. So.
Because they got no sense.
That's exactly right. Now, while you're on that theme, I have another brevity. And this time, Hatter, I am talking about that old hoary subject of counterfeiting. We're going to talk about money. We might as well talk about counterfeiting. And I actually learned some stuff about counterfeiting, which is in this short brevity. It goes a little bit like this. There will always be the joust between forgeries and the real, and ever so with currency, for here is a way to steal. The US $20 bill most popular in the world to fake who knew would never have guessed their biggest source is Peru. Apparently it's quite a skill, handed from father to son, most finding the way to the northeast. So be fair warned, everyone. End punk.
Okay. The US $20 bill is so fucking... Yeah. The biggest source of
the world,
really,
is Peru. Yes. 60%,
sons of
bitches, apparently, of all is done in Peru.
I knew the part about the $20 bill, but I had no idea about Peru.
They say it's about $60 million a year is counterfeited in Peru.
Wow. Well, you would figure that the 20 is the most favorite because they don't usually use that pencil on anything smaller. So it's just as high as you can go without them knocking it or attempting to. But the Peru is shocking. I mean, an arm sarcastic note over, or even outsourcing the counterfeit now.
My dad was a state investigator, and his specialty was counterfeiting, and what they used to call bunco was fraud. Anything that went over state lines, my dad did it. He one time came home with a briefcase and it was $250,000 of counterfeit money. We got to look at it. How's that at?
That's
cool. The thing with Iraq, Saddam Hussein was into toppling the West economy, especially the United States, and he was going to do it by taking the oil fields, which he had done, except for Kuwait. That's why he overstepped his bounds. But what he was going to do, they supposedly, and I wasn't there, I read it on the internet, so it must be true, they had vaults of $100 bills, I mean vaults of U.S. $100 bills, and another vault of phony, fake $100 bills. And I'm talking a vault, I'm talking like a house.
Facility, yes.
Yeah, and what he was going to do was only trade oil through euros and not the American dollar, so that the U.S. dollar would dive. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that was a big threat to the free world, not just us, but everybody, all the free countries.
Chatter, I've got a great fact about counterfeit currency, a great fact about counterfeit currency. You ready for this?
Okay. Yeah.
When the Secret Service was started at the end of the American Civil War, the reason it was started was because of how many counterfeit notes there were in circulation. That was the reason they started the Secret Service. Do you know that 1 in 3 notes in circulation end of the Civil War was counterfeit.
Believe it or not, wow. I had heard that. My dad dealt with Secret Service quite often.
Yeah. But yeah. That's why they started the Secret Service, was because of the counterfeit note problem that they had at the end of the Civil War.
Well, it's also why a lot of people didn't trust. They didn't trust the banks. They didn't trust the fiat system, the paper note. Yeah.
There you go. I did some reading, Dan. Yeah. I was reading on this subject. So.
I see that. I knew the part about why the Secret Service was started and what their first function was, but I didn't know the stats on the counterfeits. Wow. But that's, then you wonder how many, because like how are you saying about the, not trusting the banks, then they would stash money in Bible pages and mattresses and put them in ball jars and bury them in the yard. And I wonder, I imagine that some of these stashes are like 50-50 at least.
Anyway, there you go. It's interesting. It's fascinating, actually, the level of counterfeiting that was there at the start of the U.S. So there you go.
Not surprising, though. No, it's a shame.
Probably not. Interesting, nonetheless. So there you go. Now, Hatter, we needed to ask.
Yes.
We needed to ask you,
yeah.
irrespective of the topic of money, we needed to ask you, did you, following on from yesterday's show, go and get joy?
Yes, I did. I did.
Aha.
I did make
for those
Avis,
who were not listening, yes.
Go ahead.
Continue.
Go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say,
oh.
for those who missed the show yesterday, just to set the scene, I found a Thai poem by Banjo Patterson that was a good 104 years old that we all independently believed that Hatter could have written. And we asked him to go and talk to his compatriot and friend, Joy, and who knows his poetry very well, and say, Joy, was this poem written by Hatter or by somebody else? Something along those lines. So, Hatter, explain to us how it went.
Well, I thought I had it all covered. What I was going to do was read three. Two of them mine that sounded a lot like the cadence.
Yes.
But I made one mistake. Banjo starts out, "Wilt thou love me?" And she had it nailed right there.
Yes.
That's not you.
Yeah. All right.
I
said it wasn't you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There
but
go,
she
go.
Listened to it. And she said she could tell the style was very very similar. And then when I told her who it was, it sort of blew her away.
Oh really? Oh, there you go. Well, that's good work.
Yeah.
I'm glad. But she's very clever. No, that first line is definitely, it does date the poem a little bit older. You're right.
Yeah, I should have seen that coming. I was so busy trying to find two others that I could try to camouflage it into, you know. I said, you tell me who,
yeah.
if I wrote this or not. But,
yeah.
She was two for three. She got two for three.
No, she's done well. Now, Deb. You have put a poem up on the board.
Yeah, I have my own little brevity. When
Lovely.
I was trying to bring a little bit of rhyme.
Lovely.
It's called Coins and Bills and Hot Cheap Thrills. Here we go. For the nickels and quarters, the dollars and dimes, the gal sells her body, the lad commits crimes. They pickpockets grinning for dealing and using as brothers rob mothers out cruising and bruising.
yelling and screaming and stealing with handshakes, putting pieces of paper command for supplies. Money spawns traveling for geezers unraveling, outdating gold diggers with curves and big eyes. Now cougars sip cocktails with studs packing G-strings and date with connivers backstabbing their flings. People sell people like cattle for money, pawning pianos and peddling Coachella to eat caviar that folks steal from belugas. End of poem.
Poor belugas.
Never been a big fan of caviar, I have to say. Not one at the top of my list. Hatter, are you a caviar fan?
Yes, I do like it. I do like it. I do. I do.
You do? You do like it? Oh,
yes, I do.
Wow. Quite different. I steer clear of caviar as because I just don't like it. But putting that to one side, it is possible to feel sorry for the belugas, and I did like the. The money spawns traveling for geezers unraveling, outdating gold diggers with curves and big eyes. I thought that was nice. I like the use of study fours and three the dots. It's really cute. Hatter, did you want to say some words about this piece?
Yeah, I forgot to pack my G-string. Now could you sit cocktails with studs packing G-string?
I should, but fair enough. Yes.
I do want to add, there is a big, big difference between cheap caviar and very expensive caviar.
Oh, well, please expand on that, Hatter, because I don't like either of it. So, you know, how is it different?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my dad used to say, you know, what's the big deal with the caviar and sushi? We had it when I was a kid. It's called bait.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, poor belugas. People sell people cattle for money.
Me too.
Pawn and pianos.
Yeah.
I've not had caviar in over 2 decades, I'm sure.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, poor belugas.
That doesn't sound like a great loss to me.
No, it's not a big deal for me, Deb. I'm not missing it at all because I never liked it in the first place. So, you know, but, there you go. So,
but I figured I was one of the old people and the cougars and the geezers and the brothers and... And the lads, and so I figured I would be nice to the beluga at the end. And it didn't really rhyme with cocaine, but anyway.
No, but that doesn't matter. No. I'm perfectly happy with that, Jeff. I think when in doubt, mention the belugas. Now, Frank has been on the board. Frank has been on the board, and so I thought what I might do is put his poem up next, and we've got a SoundCloud from him too, I think. So I'm putting the Emerald Tree of Money on the board, and I am going to the videotape, and I think I'm going to play it as well, if I can find it, because Deb's always very well organized. It's always at the top. So this is Frank's poem and his SoundCloud, and here we go.
I could pluck from the branches of the emerald tree of money, precious gems I crave or need, and lavish in the wealth of its fallen leaves of reed. But it would be blinded by deceitful colours of season, knowing that with the change of autumn the leaves become deciduous for some reason. Token coins tossed into the well so foolishly, for the hope of accumulation of gold, beggar from the street corners with nothing but a miserable cold. Fancy cars and homes aspired at the rapid cost of the have and have-nots in life I dread. For sudden stand in food banks waiting for a morsel of bread. A post gained by men of duplicity, or a wage earned by men of toil, but in the end they will be buried together 6 feet under the soil, and the money once obtained will simply vanish into the thin air, for death does not distinguish from poor or rich, it does not care. Money is like the ashes we are reduced to, how bizarre, for it is no different than the paper used to smoke a cigar, except for the fact that one is made for either a gent or a bloke, and the other one is the fine enjoyment of men to smoke. Oh, how mundane is this vast world of today we belong to. Some of us have something to do and others nothing to do, but the one thing that seems not to occupy our busy mind is whether we are truly crueler towards each other than kind. You see, my good friends, money is God's heaven for some, or it is regrettably the devil's hell until the hour of the kingdom come. But it is much better to be rich in the human mind and soul than to be completely void materialistically whole. Don't think money does everything, or you are going to end up doing everything. For money. Oh, don't think money does everything, or you're going to end up doing everything for money. In the poem.
There we go. Deb, what did you think of The Emerald Tree of Money by Frank?
I like the title for one. It'd be nice to have a money tree. Just saying. Just I crave or need and lavish in the wealth of the fallen leaves of greed. There's something about that I really like, the fallen leaves of greed. But it would be blinded with deceitful colors of seasons. It's funny how often money and deceit in the same sentence or poem per se. Yeah. There's something, fancy cars and homes aspired at the rapid cost of the have and the have-nots in life. I dread. It's like it's sad sometimes to see the people they get caught up in the have and have nots, and it's what happened to being happy for the next guy and striving for your own instead of being coveting everything everybody else has, or what happened to people who rather than say rub it in your face. Help people out now and then, or maybe buy a kid a jacket in winter or whatever the case may be. And it always comes back to the money. And it seems like, I feel the need to say present company excluded, but it seems like the more money somebody has, the greedier they are and the less willing they are to help the next guy. And that's really sad. So, money does strange things to people, and unfortunately, a lot of them are sad things. Cool poem. And again, I say present company excluded.
No. I mean, I think it is interesting though, Deb. I think that what does tend to happen is the more money people make, the more they forget what it's like to have not very much. And
absolutely.
I think there's something sort of that. I don't know what it is, but there's there's something very human about caring about people and trying to do good for people who don't have as much as others. And I don't for the life of me understand why that's left us, but it seems to have. And I can't explain why, but it really is not helpful.
No, and it's not a and you know, you can put it in every aspect. For example, ask the next pizza delivery or whatever the case may be person that comes by. I know it's a little different as far as tipping. I don't know how that works over there, but over here, when the guy comes at the door and he delivers your pizza, you tip him. And they often, most of them will tell you that the bigger the house, the more money the people make, the bigger the or the bigger the likelihood that they won't get it all.
That's the social experiment these college kids did. What they did is they picked a couple, and I believe they said they had a BMW insignia on a key ring that they had noticed, and they were sitting there, and they gave somebody came up to them and said they're giving away free pizzas, so they gave them pizza. And then shortly after, they had a homeless person, what looked like a homeless person, come up and go, "I'm hungry. Could I have a piece of pizza?" They said no.
Yep.
They gave the same thing to a homeless person, and the person said, "You sit down and eat all you want."
Yeah.
So
it's that sense, Hatter, of sort of caring for others. I mean, I think it is a bit different in Australia, Deb, because I think the minimum wage in the US is about, what, $7 an hour or something. The minimum wage in Australia is $20 an hour, no matter what you do. That's the minimum that people have got to pay you. And so we don't have a culture of tipping in the same way as the US does, because at the end of the day, people should be able to make their way on $20 an hour without tips. Now, if they give great service, of course you give a tip, but it's not in the same way required because people are earning so little,
Well, there's a certain trust in the customer, there's a certain trust in the customer that they would tip depending on what kind of service they got. And if they got, now it's like they got good service, so what? They walk out and don't tip anyway. So there's a break in the system that shouldn't happen.
No, that shouldn't happen. No, that shouldn't happen. I mean, having visited the US for quite a bit now, I think I've got a pretty good idea of tipping and what you do and what sort of amount you give. And I'd never not tip. That's just not, you tip, that's what you do. But you just give different amounts depending on what services you get and what you find when you go. But you don't not tip. That's not one of the answers.
In the not too far past, when I had a little more than I have now, a buddy of mine took me to a Japanese restaurant, and I was buying. He picked the restaurant, so we went in. There was a waitress. I noticed her right off, and Mitch, who's rest in peace, Mitch. He died 2 years ago. He goes. She goes, look at that girl over there, the waitress. And I go, I know, Mitch. She looked identical to my high school sweetheart who I married. And I was married for 25 years. And I mean, identical. Could have been her sister. So Mitch, of course, had to, when we were getting our food, I decided, well, we're going to eat ours here because I wanted to just gaze at her a little longer. not,
of course.
Not
I get
her,
it. Okay.
Creepy, but
no.
Yeah, I left her an $80 tip.
How to guess who I found in the green room?
So,
who?
Silk.
Get out of here! Bailey.
Hey, Hatter. Hey, Pete.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, man. I thought Colin Hang. For a little while,
yeah,
I meant to be a little bit earlier. I thought your guys' show was an hour later than it was, but
No. We sort of hang around this time, fairly consistently.
Awesome.
So, there you go. It's wonderful you're here, by the way, Silk.
Well, thank you.
You're just
good to hear all of you again too. It's been a while since I've heard you, AP, and I'm glad to hear you.
Well, there you go. I read Jabberwocky before, if you really want to get into it. So, you know. And also, Knight Frank on the boards. So, well done, Frank. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thanks for the piece.
Yes.
Deb?
Yes. Hello?
You're going to say something? Yes, Deb? Yes?
Oh, no. I'm just saying goodnight, Frank. But I was going to tell Frank he was just in time to hear Gerald read.
Yeah, which is always cool. Tells a good story, and he's he always does a brilliant SoundCloud. So I'm just going to put Gerald on now, and then I've got a story to tell about Gerald's poem. But just let's hear Gerald first.
Pension, written and read by Gerald Green. The union workers paid their dues. Or should I say, the union took them. Up to 30 years they worked in dangerous places, feeling pride in what they did. The pension funds grew week by week as money poured like honey, and men with soft hands smiled each day as if each cent was theirs. When the balance sheet grew fatter, men in white shirts wanted more, because they felt it was deserving of their status and position, rubbing elbows, and no one challenged. The pension funds kept growing. No one thought to calculate retirement schedules pending while the heavy boat was rising. Then one day investments faltered. Markets wavered, changed behavior, causing losses, major losses, one by one across the board, making men with silk ties sweat. Years went by, compounding losses, but the numbers still looked large, until divided into schedules for the future of each worker looking forward to retirement. Disappointment and betrayal ruined lives of rank and file, as pension checks fell short and failed to meet expenses growing larger every year. Lives were ruined, spouses livid, future plans were soon abandoned. Costly health care added misery to retirees with no recourse, stuck with no security. The men in suits remained exempted, not included with the others. Their 401ks grew in stages, some years more, some years less, handled by professionals. I searched for morals in this story, some redeeming lesson learned, to circumvent another failure and provide a better outcome for skillful union workers who retire. End poem.
Thank you, Gerald. Now I've got a little story. Because in the last week in Australia, the bottom 10% of all pension funds, the right to their members to say that they were in the bottom 10% of all pension funds by return, and they have to offer a free transfer to another fund that does better as part of their letter to all of the contributors to that pension fund. So they are forced by the government every year, every pension fund, if they're in the bottom 10%, they have to write to their members and say, we're doing a really crap job, here's a free transfer to somebody who's doing a better job. And
wow.
I can't for the life of me see you couldn't do that in the US. There's no reason in the world you couldn't do that in the US. Simple as that. And that fixes the problem right there, because it puts it right back to the members, and they can get the letter and they can say, okay, they're doing a crap job. We've got a free choice to move. I'm moving now. Here's the pay. It's in with the letter, the free transfer form. So if you want to do something about it, that's what you do about it. Gerald, it's terrible that it's happening. The regular not good enough. It's got to get changed.
I remember a while my dad was dealing with this where his amounts were changing some of the stupid mistakes and disappointments and whatnot that were happening. And it packed a punch. And I've never heard of someone having to do what you just said about the 10%, but that I find that pretty awesome. And great poem.
Straight out regulation. It's a great poem, by the way. It's a great poem, Gerald. It's on point poem, and it's a terrible thing that's happened, but it's fixable if you want to do something about it. That's what you do about it.
Yeah. I do remember when they first started using the owners of the factories, there was nothing, there was no IRS basically to regulate or to watch their books.
Yes.
Because all the big corporations back in the day, big companies, would barely make on their books. They would, at the end of the year, they would barely make a profit. So they had a reason that they couldn't, it wouldn't trickle down to the employees or couldn't pay them more. And that became like the first loophole that they were able to
shitty. Abuse. Better, you know.
Yeah.
That's just,
and like you said, it was such dangerous jobs too.
Yeah. It's just shitty management and cheap people running stuff at the top of the business.
And the people that were honest, people that were honest and realized I could live off this much money, I'm going to, give some back to their employees or make the job safer. Those people went on the wayside because they were just crushed by the corporate magnates, the guys that just owned everything. And the sad thing is some of these guys are American quote heroes, industrial age heroes. And the more you learn about them, the more you got to shake your head. How in the hell do you get away with that?
I'm going to change the subject on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to change the subject on you because next week it's my turn to choose the topic.
All right. Easy now.
Okay.
Easy now. All right.
You ready? I think I've got a topic.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
No. It's Blackbird.
Blackbird. I like it.
Blackbird. Yes.
COVID.
Topic.
Yeah.
And that means, Hatter, that I can read Joe's poem by In Chains as a prelude to next week because it's got blackbirds in it. So this is Joe's poem from In Chains called Like Clockwork, and it goes a little bit like this. As shadows make hand gestures through my throat, they pass notes of echoes I colour in high winds with mud-strewn fingertips. The frozen blackbird softly sighs. A middle-aged clock face in the distance wore a meter reading back since afterlife. Ghostly limbs, airdrop autumn leaves from an old oak tree in the hiding place of war. Black clouds changed in the upcoming of silver storm. Martyr's bones and ice, a fog of gun smoke, still brittle in poem.
I miss Joe. I see she's eased up on the cryptic metaphor lines a little bit.
Yes, she has, and she's just contributing in the last couple of shows. So that's why I was very keen to get her on again. Do you remember Joe In Chains and her poetry?
Yes. I've always enjoyed Joe's poetry. In fact, Simply Joe is one of the first poets that ever took an interest on me when I was a brand new member of AP and tried to help me develop my poetry a little bit more.
Okay.
And,
fantastic.
And I'm always grateful to her. And she's a very, very sweet, sweet girl. And, I've always enjoyed her pieces. And, yeah, I agree. She has gone a little bit, just slightly less abstract, which is, I loved her abstract stuff, but this is good, too.
Yeah.
And I love The Frozen Blackbird, Softly Sighs, Middle Age, Clock Face, In the Distance, War, A Meter, Reading Back, Since Afterlife. That spoke to me just about someone looking back on their life from old age and seeing everything that's become before. And then even when the ghostly limbs stanza down here, it just it carried through, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great piece.
Yeah. Really, really neat. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Joe's piece?
Yeah, well, it was the star of stole my line that I was going to quote, so I'll pick something else. I like the very beginning, shadows make hand gestures through my throat. They pass notes on the echoes. I color in high winds with mud-strewn fingertips. Her descriptions in this one are short and tight and sweet and very, well, no, sweet's the wrong word, but very vivid. You can just about see the hand gestures, you know, and I think it just may be shooting a finger at it or something. And ghostly limbs airdrop on gum leaves from an old oak tree. And you can picture that too, the dark tree, the limb. I mean, really great imagery in her brevity. I don't know why I couldn't say that for a second. And I too really very glad.
Yeah.
And participate.
Yeah.
I thought I saw somewhere that she wasn't feeling good today, so I hope you feel better, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great poem, Joe. I hope you noticed the way I get that into, by the way, Deb, by choosing the blackbird there. And
that segue, yes,
so
I absolutely. That was a very clever segue, for sure.
Thank you very much. So it was on topic. You didn't even know, but it was on topic. Next week we're going to be doing blackbirds. Just to finish off the money stuff, really.
I think you wanted to do the last one. You wanted to read the last one of the night. But if you don't mind that first, and then you can read.
We're going to go. I think we've done enough on money. I was going to leave it to Phil to do the last poem. So,
well, I'm honored you let me read. It wasn't a big deal either way. Like I said, I wasn't trying to push for a read. But,
you, Phil. You're a great
reader. I just wanted to call in and be on, that's all. Okay.
No. We want you to read. So the stage is yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, as Deb knows, we're doing a contest in another group, and this is from one of those. So here we go. This one's called Vacant. Upside down, dangling, black marionette. Hollow is the cancerous fog crawling across the threads of my lament. Fetid as corpse poison water, this sweet sickness slithering between my taste buds to lodge in my throat, stitching my tongue to the vines that cling to your husk, like withered tendons still feeling the ache of ghost limb leaves that once sang along the shimmering web of my matrix so beautifully. I no longer hear the rustle of your lips, and arias bleed into anguished soliloquies as the salt of my wilting eyes falls into the barren sea of a blasted sky. And pump.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
The prompt
image,
was the picture.
Yeah, I love the image. And
yeah.
To start with the marionettes is a really cool way to actually introduce the piece, Silk, because it you've got the wood, you've got the hollowness of the wood, and then you've got the sort of strings that you can envisage being upside down to the base of the trees that would be, you know, what's actually making that marionette work. So I really liked how you started and where you came from.
Oh, thanks, AP. A lot of people in this contest took this like a lighthearted piece, but I found the picture very desolate feeling. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I'm with you. I looked at that and I sort of thought, well, there's no leaves. There's storms coming. There's a heaviness. There's a darkness about it. And
yeah, the ground looks poisonous. Just yeah.
Yeah. There was no grass. I mean, it looks to me as if it would be a dark prompt, and I'm surprised that people went with the light. But I guess there's got to be some people out there seeing light. But I'm like you. I would have gone dark.
Right.
Yeah. I think it came out great, and I see that you got a medal for it. Congrats on that. And a front page pick. Actually, I read one of mine from the Champions League last night, an abstract one that I had cut.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the Champion League. It's one of my favorite things I've done on AP so far. So
I don't remember who took it for the guys last year, but I took it for the women, and I'm working on number two. Just
there
saying.
Right. No.
I can't wait for next quiz either. I might fall out of the semifinals. I don't know. I'm kind of behind, but we'll see.
I don't know. I'm still knock on wood, tapping my skull. I'm still on there.
Yeah, there we go.
Head up. What did you think?
I liked it. Came in stitching my tongue to the vines that. They cling to the husk like withered tendons. You did well describing that picture. You could feel the sorrow, the desperation, the raped land. And, you know, I put in the comments to where there's no choices made. You don't have a choice whether you live there or not. That's just it. That's home. Yeah, the strings, marionette. Very good. So where are you at? Are you still traveling around, Kenan?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm actually in Columbus, Ohio right now.
Wow.
All right.
Columbus, cool. Ohio.
I'm at the El Dorado, the Sarasota Downs, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, I did not know that was in Columbus.
Yeah, they had live harness racing earlier.
But at least you've got something to go through and do. So, well, we're in lockdown here.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got nothing to go and do.
I just go in and make little bets. I make like little $4 bets. Just something to do while I'm drinking. That's all.
No.
I don't really gamble a lot, so.
No, I don't either. Well, there's nothing to gamble on here at the minute anyway. So, sorry, Deb, did you say something?
I was actually reacting to an inbox. I apologize. I just, but I can't help myself. So, did that happen yesterday by chance?
What happened yesterday?
What you wrote, what you just put in my inbox.
Oh, no, that happened like a week ago. Like a week and
but I had
a couple days ago.
I had a run-in with the same lovely person in one of the chat rooms yesterday, so I was just curious if it was just a mood for the day or... Anyway, I'll shut up now. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'll send you a message telling you my thoughts about why I think that happened, but I don't know for sure.
Well, I don't know why mine happened other than consider the source. Anyway.
Anyway,
I want to take this time to thank everybody for participating in the show. Sky, Sweet Pea, thank you for the collab contest. The competition is stiff. We've got our work cut out for us, AP.
Indeed.
Hey, man, always a pleasure to have you call in, man. Been missing you. Joe, glad you're back, and I hope you're feeling better. Frank, thanks for the piece, the SoundCloud. Gerald Green, thank you for participating, and in-house aliens, the Andorians, Stephen Anderkay, thank you, boner face for me. AP, thank you, buddy. Great co-host,
oh, yeah.
Making a pleasure, and my other assistant, my best friend, Deborah Lee, thank you, couldn't do it without you. Love you so much.
Aww. So sweet.
And I think, did I miss anybody?
Don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I got it. How about that? You got it right.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a couple minutes left. Okay, man, where's your next destination? From Columbus, Ohio, you're going where? Or do you know?
Just a little bit south of Kansas City. I'm actually going to be at the Harrah's in Kansas City tomorrow night and Monday night. So,
okay.
Like I said, I'm not the gambler. I drive cross country with my dad. I work for my dad, and he's the big gambler. I just like to take advantage of the free food and the drinks. So.
Absolutely.
Do you ever get the chance to get to a ball game, baseball game?
Every once in a long while. The last one I got to see was actually a AAA game, and it was what was the name of that team? It was the team our company sponsors. I can't remember the name, Dragons or something, I think. And it was like a year and a half ago.
So,
that's where it's at.
So
expensive.
But no,
yes,
I like baseball.
Yes,
I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm pretty sure that it's Father's Day in Oz and that AP Jeff might want to get off the phone.
Oh.
Happy Father's Day.
Father's we've Day. Got the kids up tonight, so, but they're bringing the takeaway, so I'm not cooking. So that's a positive thing. Just sitting here and eating Malaysian food. Which is kind of cool, really. I'm a big fan of Malaysian food. So.
Cool.
All right. We'll wrap this up then.
Thank you, everybody, for participating.
And we'll be back. I will be back, I don't think, until next Saturday, I think.
I'm back Friday. I'm back Friday for Tic Mac Po.
Take that bow. Excellent. Game shows. K-Man,
yeah.
Call in any time, man. You're welcome here anytime. Thank you for calling.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to start calling in more. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome, man.
All right, well, love and respect. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day, AP. Talk to everyone soon.
Thank you.
I'm out of here.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody.
All right. We'll see you guys. Have a good evening.
Okay. Bye.